Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I was watching the Sharks and the Rangers, like, with their little scrum where the players were attacking each other with their gloves and the facial scrums and then the sticks up high and guys talking about each other's mothers. Have you ever noticed anything so pathetic in your life as the NHL anymore with their wannabe fights that don't happen?
Well, I think worse than baseball's wannabe fights.
I mean, I grew up watching hockey for the last 55 years where every time I went to a game, I saw at least one good fight for my money. And now you couldn't see a fight if a fight broke out in the stands, you have more of a chance of seeing that. Because these guys now fight with their visors on, which is pathetic. Have your hands sliced open or your hand broken by a face mask in the NHL. It is so pathetic. And then they have these ridiculous scrums that amount to nothing but a waste of time. What a bunch of wussies. Somebody needs to drop an uppercut and shove one of those sticks down someone's throat and knock their teeth out. Because I miss those days horrifically. Ray Ratto, our Bay Area insider, do you miss any of that at all? Or are you one of these guys that likes it clean and can't have any fighting anymore?
I love when you're nostalgic. It just warms my heart.
Honestly.
If you're going to do the dance, do the dance. If you're not going to do the dance, then figure out another way.
I mean, don't you think someone... There is
a midpoint where all you're doing is posturing.
Right.
I mean, I don't need a fight to be entertained in a hockey game.
Right.
But if you're going to do this, it should be for something real, and it should be meaningful. If all it is for show, or to try to get the boys excited, then shut up, play better.
Yeah, it doesn't work anymore. These scrums they have after the whistle that take 5 minutes to separate these guys and no one ever fights or does anything is such a joke because back in the day, 5 minutes of scrum, forget that. It literally 5 seconds after that would break out. Someone would drop the gloves and someone would get hammerjacked in the face 30 times.
Yeah, I mean, in the old days, yes, the homicidal maniacs were everywhere and sociopathy was really the order of the day, but it is clear that that's not where the sport is headed.
Right.
So to me, if you absolutely need to avenge a significant wrong, then go try to do it. But, you know, don't do the show. You know, do the real thing. I mean, and if you get suspended for it, then you get suspended for it. But to me, I don't know. I just think a fight should be something extraordinary in response to something extraordinary. It shouldn't just be, well, nothing's happened in the last 22 minutes. I think I'll just, you know, spear a guy in the groin and see what happens.
So what do you think of the Sharks' problems and the DeBoer firing and really where they're headed and kind of what's happened to them?
A lot of things have happened to them, and they've happened all at once. Their goaltending, which had been spotty last year, is now just sort of regularly bad. The defense is poor. Brent Burns has not been good in a good long while. None of their young guys are really playing very well. It's a team that it's too easy to say they're old, but it is not too easy to say that they've gotten very few A-plus performances from many players. And it's not just because Joe Pavelski went to Dallas. It's the fact that they've asked too much of too few and too little of too many.
So let me ask you, Ray Ratto, change gears and talk about the Raiders for a minute. One of the great institutions, and I don't know, like you and I've had many conversations over the years about everything in the Bay Area, but I have to tell you, like, I don't know how, if you like him, you don't like him. I just want you to know that I think one of the most iconic of Titans and Mavericks ever in the history of the league, in my opinion, was Al Davis. What he meant to the NFL for me, was very significant from the merger and then, you know, into the league and what he accomplished and then the rivalries with, like, Art Rooney and the Steelers and the like and the Super Bowls that he won. And, you know, really what he built, for me, he was a fascinating figure, especially with, like, NFL films with the super slow-mo shots of him, you know, just pimping out in those outfits and those sunglasses with diamonds and those white, like, jumpsuits. Just the most magnificent slow-motion footage I've ever seen in my life of anyone. I just thought he was gargantuan. Now, I know you may not have the same feelings about him. I don't know. But I just feel like there is nostalgia. You talk about going back. That they are leaving the Bay Area, and this is the final home game at that dump, is really kind of sad at the end of the day. I want to know what you feel of all of it.
Okay, in order, Al Davis was very much an iconic figure in the history of the league. He did a number of laudable things, not only socially but culturally for the league, for about 25 years. But the problem with being an independent thinker is that eventually, if you're good at being an independent thinker, other people with more money will steal your ideas. And that's sort of what happened here. He was that worst combination of owner, but not an owner who had enough money to make other rich owners pay attention to him. And as the NFL became more business and less football, his one weakness began to became more and more obvious, which was he was undercapitalized. And as time went on, it got worse and worse and worse to the point where he really at the end was the great independent thinker who simply stayed too long at the fair. So I think your assessment is correct, but again, you know, you can't, you know, the league changed and he couldn't change with it because he didn't have the wherewithal to do so. In terms of Oakland, I think this is largely Mark Davis's fault because he said for essentially 6 years, I want to get out of here. I want to get out of here. I want to get out of here. And eventually people are going to take you at your word. So this last game on Sunday doesn't have nearly the upsetting feature to it that the last game in St. Louis did with the Rams, because you can't keep saying, I don't want to be here, I don't want to be here, and expect people to keep listening. Again, like his father, he was undercapitalized, and he was in a city that didn't have the money to bail him out of his own problems.
Right.
So ultimately, it's not really sad as much as it is just sort of a – it's just like dropping a wet newspaper on your counter. It just thuds. Nobody is as outraged as they should be,
right,
because they've been made to feel like, yeah, this has been going on for a while.
It was inevitable.
And they just got we're leaving fatigue.
It was inevitable. Let me ask you this question. Is the city – because, you know, I live there in San Francisco. I noticed, you know, it's been a long time. I was there in 94. Because the Warriors moved to the city, and they're in Chase now and this and that, and the Raiders are leaving and everything else. Tell me the truth about Oakland. Is the East Bay still, I mean, I hate to say this, is it, because I see a lot of documentaries and everything about the city that it's basically hell on earth.
Well, no, then you're not seeing documentaries. You're seeing fiction.
Okay.
East Bay is actually doing quite well. The only problem here is that you had in the Warriors a team that was bought by a guy who grew up on the west side of the Bay and said from day one, my goal is to get back to San Francisco. That's why there wasn't nearly as much outrage when the Warriors left, because he basically said, look, I want to be in San Francisco, and he wasn't dishonest about it. The problem with the Raiders is that they just kept saying, this isn't good enough, this isn't good enough, and really had no position to take on how to make it better. So, from the moment he mentioned San Antonio, as a place that he might be interested in taking the team.
Right.
What he basically said was, at some point I'm going somewhere, and I don't know where it is yet. But when you drop that flag and it still takes you six more years to leave, then people are just going to say, okay, you want to leave? Go.
Right.
You know, it just, it's.
Well, what's Oakland like?
A more resilient place than all of these things.
What's Oakland like?
Oakland is, it's a burgeoning, diverse, energetic community like it always has been. It's got money. It's got, you know, it's got a lot of weird flavors to it, but it certainly could support either team. The problem is the NFL requires that you be a multi-billionaire.
Right.
And the NBA requires that you be fully committed to that town. And the truth is, Joe Lacob wasn't committed to Oakland, and he wanted his own place. And Mark Davis was not committed to Oakland because he couldn't stay there forever being undercapitalized.
Wow, it's crazy. I got respectfully here about a minute and a half. Tell me what you think of that. I took the Niners in New Orleans to win outright. I thought that was very impressive. Do you actually believe that if they had to go back there again in like a conference championship game that they'd beat them again? I have my doubts.
I think it would be difficult, but I also don't think that either team would play the same way they played. I don't know that Sean Payton would have tried to go ahead 22-7 when he could have just been 21-7 and tried to play it, you know, more down the fairway. I also think that if both teams were fully healthy, I think New Orleans' defense would be better, but you don't get those choices. I mean, the 49ers have had their own share of injuries, and the fact that there's only the one crack to play them, I thought the right result happened because the 49ers played the way New Orleans wanted to play.
Right.
And still beat them. I mean, that's the thing. If the 49ers wanted to play this the way they wanted, the game would have been 20-17. The fact that they still won 48-46 is an indication that they can play just about any way you want to play. And the only issue really is, you know, can you play as well as you need to play as often as they do?
Yeah, I think they could meet again.
I think it's likely.
I think they could meet again, and I agree with you. I don't think the game will go the same way. And by the way, the Rangers just scored again, and they're up 5-3 on the Sharks now. That game's going to be in the bag, 3 minutes left. Ray Ratto, I love you. It's always great having you on the bench. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, my friend. We'll talk again real soon.
All right, sounds good. Take care. Stay dry.
My man, stay dry yourself. Ray Ratto, our good friend from San Fran City.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.